I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. It offers flexible spending capacity that adapts to your business. You can also earn up to $395 in annual statement credits on eligible purchases at select business merchants. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round two recap for this week's Valspar Championship. Joining me to break it all down, Mark Immelman is here. Hey, Mark.
How's it, Rick? How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm all good. Thank you very much. Enjoying my week off, watching some golf on television, catching up with the honeydews before I hit the road for the Masters in just a few weeks. Can you believe it's just around the corner?
No, I cannot. We've got two more rounds here. We've got 8 rounds in Texas, and then we will be it for the Masters.
Bananas, and I understand you're going to be there. This is exciting for me.
That's right. Yes, I will be making my first trip, my pilgrimage to Augusta National. I'm very much looking forward to it.
I'll have to take you to dinner, show you the spots.
I'm up for anything and everything. Cannot wait.
Cool. Sounds good.
The morning wave, which was gusty this morning. They've been playing Preferred Lies. The rain has kind of been on and off a little bit. You can see it's not ideal conditions, but we did get some movers out of the morning. And Mark, let's start with Lucas Glover, who followed up his Thursday 68 with a Friday 69. He is in at 5 under par. As of right now, in this moment, that is 2 shots off the lead. That might change over the course of the next hour or so, as there still are golfers out on the course. But Lucas Glover is able to use his best skill sets, Mark, on this golf course with keeping it in play. And he's finding enough of a putter this week to get himself near the top of the leaderboard.
Yeah, Rick, this is where you could speak to it better. But if you mentioned Lucas Glover and Innisbrook Copperhead Golf Course, they should be in the same sentence, because he's got almost the ideal skill set to fit this place, because these greens are small, the fairways are demanding to hit, and now you're starting to speak his language. And a number of the holes, I think of 14, sort of jump to mind. They turn a little to the left. The only, because he likes to hit that draw, you know, as I think about it, the only real uncomfortable holes for him would be 16, because that hole turns right. But then again, the beauty of what he hits is it can just set a draw off down the right center, because everyone's pulling it in the trees down on that difficult par 4 anyway. So it's really a kind of place for Lucas where I feel like he gets there and you're like, all right, this is the kind of place I can go. You don't have to be super long off the tee. You've got to be precise. You have to control distance to these tiny greens. And now you're speaking his language.
Yeah, certainly able to play out of the short grass often. And at last check, he was gaining about 3 strokes with the putter. And if that goes in that direction, Lucas Glover is always going to be in contention. Let's talk about one of the biggest movers up 58 spots after his second round. That's KH Lee, Mark. So he goes 71-67. To put this into perspective, that 4-under round, that's the best round that we've seen today that's done. Maybe able to get to 5-under by somebody still out on the golf course right now, but KH Lee made a birdie on 1, an eagle on 11, a birdie on 12 and 15. The only blemish came at the very last hole, the 18th, which is obviously difficult there at the Copperhead course. But KH Lee was one of our biggest movers on Friday.
Yeah, and also another guy who's just very reliable. And he plays I don't want to say emotionless, because everyone has, you know, emotion to them when they're playing the game. But all the times I've watched him playing, he just always stays very even keel. Never seems like he's too up or too down. And this golf course, it'll get you on the ropes fast if you're not careful. And so, again, it's not a horses for courses thing, but it's the kind of thing with his skill set he also fits. Also loves to hit the ball from right to left, incidentally. But the thing about KH's round to me was, you know, I've got a little, a friend of mine and I, we have a little friendly five on every round. We just get to pick one golfer, low round of the day. And so I will typically go on Thursdays and Fridays, even maybe on the weekends, even though the guys have, they've just made the cut and then you've got the leaders playing late. I'll always go with someone early because the golf course, definitely in Florida, will stiffen in the afternoon because the wind will start to blow. The greens will get a little chewed up, a little trampled too after we've had a very wet time of it down here in the south and the southeast. And so I was like, okay, early guys are going to have a tougher time of it. Now I look at the scoring now and I'm like, golly, the afternoon wave is almost playing more than a half a stroke on average easier. So that's 67 that he shot. He must be pleased as punch right now. And I'm sure that bodes well for him in terms of confidence as we head into the weekend.
Yeah, it was very gusty this morning. So those guys had, and then the wind, it calmed down in the afternoon and it kind of changed back to a prevailing wind. So yes, the afternoon guys have actually gotten better of it.
Well, the weather forecast, I mean, the forecast for today out there in Innsbruck was for them to basically almost get washed out because we have been dumped on here in Georgia. And somehow the rain just kind of avoided them. And so they got very lucky to get play in because a lot of folks were thinking like, okay, if this is a washout, we sort of cut into Monday and then, well, there's 36 holes Saturday and then got to get these guys to Texas and stuff. So it was about to become a disaster of sorts. And the fact that they're getting everything in today is borderline miraculous.
Yes. One of the outcomes we discussed last night was this round might not be played today. So they get on and off drizzle throughout the day, but does look like they are going to get it in. Our overnight leader, Kevin Streelman, did not have the Friday he would have liked, Mark. A bogey on 3, a bogey on 17. His only birdie came on the final hole of the day, number 18 on the Copperhead course. He is still very much in the mix as of right now, one shot off the lead. But Streelman had an 8-shot difference from Thursday to Friday.
Yeah, you know, I hate to sound like a stuck record here, but he's won this event. It's a real ball striker's place, and that's who he is. And the fact that he is in contention, given the record, which hasn't really been that stout here in the early portion of the 2024 season, that speaks to, again, how this golf course sort of likes its champions and it likes certain players who play a certain style of game. And that game is no frills off the tee. You don't have to be too long. You have to control distance with the irons, which is Streelman's kind of calling card, if you will. And on the green, you just around the greens, you got to be a little smart because you can get some gnarly lies. Everything's perched up and you get that rye overseed, which tends to want a bird's nest a little bit. So you got to have some skill there, but the greens are not that hard to read. So again, I'm thinking, golly, Kevin Streelman, whenever he goes down there, I'm certain this is an event on the calendar where there's no questions asked. He just circles no matter where it fits in the schedule. And he's like, I'm playing. I don't care how many weeks in a row I've played. I'm going there just because I feel so comfortable.
Yeah, he's certainly putting that course history to good use this week. He'll likely enter the weekend a shot, maybe two shots off the lead. Plenty of time for Kevin Streelman. I want to look at the top of the board. There are some guys still out on the golf course. I want to hit a couple of notables, Mark, and then we'll see what Vegas has to think about all this. But first, we are going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners. It's a really fine line creating workout clothes that are great in the gym and workout clothes that are also great to look at outside the gym. And Vuori has threaded that needle. They are designed to work out in, but they don't look like it. They don't feel like it. And it's incredibly comfortable stuff, whether you are running, training, swimming, doing yoga, running errands, lounging around the house. It really doesn't matter. These are versatile clothes. You'll find me often in the men's Sunday performance jogger because I like the jogger situation that goes on down at the bottom, but they're very comfortable. They've got a little bit of a shorter inseam, so they're not as bulky as other pants or other joggers that I have seen out there, and I've really enjoyed how they work both in and out of the gym. So now, here's what you can do for our listeners. First-time purchasers are getting 20% off. All you have to do is go to Vuori.com/first. That's Vuori.com/first. Again, not only will you receive 20% off your first order, but enjoy free shipping on any US orders over $75. And here's my favorite part, free returns. Yeah, go check it out. Vuori.com/first and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBSSports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBSSports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
And we're back. Okay, Mark, it has, I want to zoom out a little bit before we start naming names specifically. It has not been a banner week for the guys at the top of the betting board heading into this tournament. Brian Harman is going to miss the cut. Sam Burns is playing his final hole of the day right now. At this moment, he is safe. We will see if he makes bogey. He could be missing this cut line. Xander Schauffele's in 36. These are three guys that we would have probably expected a little bit better from through the halfway point.
Yeah, all three of them were playing pretty well last week at the Players. You talk of those guys you referenced, right? Sam Burns had a wonderful Saturday after he said he struggled with his ball striking Thursday, Friday. So they're coming into this week playing well. So one would think, okay, these are the banner guys. They should go well. But the truth of it is, after a week like one has at the Players' Championship, it's riddled with emotion. It's a big week. The players know it. You could get a sense on the grounds there last week. It was just different. There's just a whole lot more to play for. And so when guys are contending under that sort of an environment, it wears on you. And so I can imagine Xander and Brian Harman, who end one back, you know, both had putts to get into a playoff with Scotty. You know, they were getting, you know, they went through the ringer emotionally and mentally. And I'm sure it's a little bit of a letdown. I'm sure they made their way over to Tampa sort of lazily on Monday after the event. Didn't really practice then. Then Tuesday would have been light. Wednesday's the pro-am. So I hate to say you come into an event unprepared, but you're certainly not as prepared as what you were for last week. And then you get off to a kind of a shaky start, and then you're like, oh, and there's just no adrenaline left, you know? It's like your body is on empty. And I'm not saying this is an excuse for bad play, but it's really hard to lift yourself if you don't have everything, all your facilities at your disposal. So I can see why. I think maybe certainly with Xander now in the weekend where he's in, Sam Burns potentially also, where maybe they just free will and let things go a little bit more. But I could sort of see why they may have struggled, because this place is demanding and you cannot come in here unprepared. Again, I'm not saying they're not prepared, but I'm certain that they are low on the gas tank is on fumes right now.
Yeah, certainly. And Sam Burns is having it's going to be a very sweaty finish. The cut line likely to be even par. That is where he's at on 18. He was playing out of the trees after his tee shot. So we'll see how this goes. Let's talk about Justin Thomas. He was one of the pre-tournament favorites, Mark, and he has mostly lived up to that. He shot a 68 on Thursday. He is 3 under for Friday. He is playing his final hole of the day. He's in the greenside bunker on 18. We talked a little bit on the show yesterday with Greg about the momentum that Justin Thomas is trying to build into the Masters and into major championship season. It hasn't been perfect on this Friday, but he's gonna be in the mix going into the weekend.
He is, and he was in the mix for a while last week. I mean, things were going along swimmingly, and then all of a sudden, almost incomprehensibly, it's two balls into the woods left of the 10th, and that was, I don't want to say the end of his campaign, but it certainly put a dent in what was the machine that was looking like Justin Thomas was becoming then. Everything seemed there. It looked like he had control enough off the tee. He still was fighting that left tee ball a little bit, but the iron game was there, and the short game, it was immaculate. And I've said to many a person, a lot of colleagues, announced colleagues, I'm like, when JT starts making mid-range putts, I feel like then it's on. It really is. And if you watch him play today, look, he kicks off the round on the first hole, which is a tough fairway to find, that par five. Play from an elevated tee down to the fairway, so it's always awkward. He finds the fairway and then drills this long iron in the heart of the green, two putts for birdie. And I was like, hello, just right out of the gate. Then he makes a really good mid-range putt on the fifth for a birdie. And then he hits a pitch shot on 7. And look, the guy with a wedge is magical. He doesn't necessarily have kind of the shot selection that Jordan does. But Justin Thomas has got this off-speed wedge he hits, and then he's got this, it's not fizzing, but it spins where it hops and skips and stops. And he does it from 120 yards, and he does it from 20 yards. And just short of 7 green there, most folks would have probably went with putter. And this guy pulls wedge. Well, he might have been slightly farther off the green, forgive me. And he takes out his lob wedge and carves across this thing. It floats in the air over the slope. Lands, jumps, checks, nearly goes in. And I was like, sweet Jesus. I mean, this shot, when I saw this, I actually had to rewind the thing and watch it again because it was just so perfect. And I started to think to myself, I'm like, okay, if he can just find a way to start making putts with that skill around the greens, it could be a big summer for him. And then he makes a big long putt on 8. And then he sort of hangs around there, makes a silly bogey on 13, I think it was. But it's all going swimmingly. He just needs to somehow, there's like this momentary lapse of reason that happened a couple times last week. You had the double today, where if he can work that out of the game, I mean, he is, it's on. It really is, because I'm still flabbergasted by that wedge shot hit from barely a few feet off the green to get it to spin like he did.
Yeah, special stuff. And he is not immune to the snake pit. Our leaders are not immune to the snake pit. Justin Thomas has about 35, maybe 40 feet for par on the last. Sam Burns has about 5 feet for par to make the cut. So a couple of momentum building putts coming there. Now, the bogey that Brendan Todd just made on 16 drops him to 6 under par for the event. That is one shot off the lead. Mark, you talked about Lucas Glover and a way a golf course should fit a golfer or vice versa. Brendan Todd can certainly keep it in play. He can get hot with that flat stick. There are a lot of good things for him when he gets to this event.
Yeah. And look, we mustn't sleep on him, because if you look at the results, he might not have contended all the time, but he's always around. Every time I turn around on the PGA Tour and I'm out there and I walk onto a range Saturday, there's Brendan Todd. And I don't get there first thing in the morning, okay? So, I mean, he's always around. And whenever I turn around, he's there. His golf swing looks tidy. He's picked up a little bit more speed off the tee. And he's the kind of guy, when he was in college, he was prolific. I mean, he really, really was good. Then had that wicked case of the yips with a driver. But he's past that now. And when someone beats something like that to me, you almost play with house money. You've got this new lease on life. And that's how it looks like it is to me. He's very forthright about knowing what he's got to do for success and what he mustn't try. He went chasing power, incidentally, and it didn't work out very well. And I'll never forget him saying to me on my podcast, he's like, look, Mark, I believe that power is a luxury. Accuracy wins tournaments. And there's no place like Innisbrook Cuphead in terms of requiring accuracy. And he's got that stuff in spades.
Justin Thomas will make bogey on the last, or at least bogey. He's got a couple feet left there. And they are all chasing Stuart Sink, who is having one heck of a round out there, Mark. A 5-under round going. Now, he has here's the secret. He's already played the snake pit. So he played the snake pit at even par. He started on the back nine. So he is going to play 8 and 9 to finish his round. He's got 18 feet for birdie on 8. So there is a chance that Stuart Sink could even extend this lead going into the weekend. And he's been going back and forth between Champions Tour, PGA Tour, but he's got the game going in the right direction right now.
Yeah, apparently the Champions Tour isn't a ceremonial place, huh? I was going to say, because I hadn't looked at the scoreboard, but I was about to say 8 and 9 are no pushover. I mean, 8's a handful, 200 and something yards to a tiny green well-bunkered downhill. And 9, you have to find the fairway, because if you don't with that rough, especially down the right, it makes it awfully tough because the approach shot plays like 10 yards uphill. And there's nothing harder than a wedge from heavy rough uphill with a big bunker in front of the green. But you know, the one thing about Sink is he's one of those sorts of campaigners. And if you look at kind of the pedigree of the player who plays well around here, I don't want to say it's US Open, but it kind of is. You know, it's like put the ball in play off the tee, no frills about you, don't do anything dumb, hit the ball in the middle of the green because they're not very big. Then you take your par, and then you basically avert disaster for 4 rounds and you'll be in contention. That's the kind of golfer he is. Look at the events he's won. So I'd just be keen to see, you know, with 50-plus-year-old legs and stamina, how he does over the weekend. Because even though it's in Central Florida, this place isn't the easiest walk. There's some pretty much uphill downhill holes, like 10 and 9, like I said, and then back up 18. So it's a good walk. But look, I mean, he's a quality player with a big resume.
He's at least going to have basically a full 24 hours before his next tee time. A little bit of housekeeping here. Stuart Sink made par on 8, so he has one hole to go. He currently has a one-shot lead. Justin Thomas did tap in for bogey. He will be in at 5 under par. That'll be 2 shots off the lead. Mark, Sam Burns just whiffed on like a 5-footer, and he will not be around for the weekend.
Are you saying that for me?
Do you have him this week? I'm just disappointed. I expected big things from Sam Burns this week, and that was a pretty ugly 36 holes.
Yeah, truly was. But look, here's the reality of it. Yeah, there it is. Sam Burns.
I have what Brian Harkins right there with you.
Okay, well, looks like I might get out unscathed. Look at Doug Gim. What's he doing? Look at Josh pulling the rabbit out of the hat.
Find where Doug Gim's at. And who else? Nick Taylor is who we have to worry about. Doug Gim is in 62nd, and Nick Taylor is in 62nd. So there might not be much blood.
Okay, well, look, I have to laugh because I flipped to the comments, and Toto Fun 69 goes, Burns blatantly three-putted to miss the cut.
That way.
Well, given the argument I made earlier where these guys are whipped after last week, yeah, perhaps he did. No, I wouldn't think so. I went with Burns because I was like, he played okay for 2.5 rounds, well, for 1.5 last week at the Players, but he said he found something. And so I'm like, going back to places played well, he's found something, let's go. But apparently that didn't work out very well.
Well, despite Burns not being around, despite Harmon not being around, despite Nick Taylor not being in the mix, and maybe we'll see what Xander does over the weekend, it is stacked up at the top of the board. As mentioned, Stewart Cink in or not in, he is currently at 7 under par, and there are 24 golfers at least within 4 shots. Let's see what Vegas thinks about this board here. Justin Thomas, 2 shots off the lead, is the favorite at 6-1. Brendan Todd, who is 1 shot off the lead currently and still on the golf course, is 10-1. Some notables like Cam Young at 12-1. Stewart Cink, who's currently leading this event, 16-1. So really, Mark, there's a lot of decent numbers. Outside of Justin Thomas, every golfer in this field is at least double digits, and there's a lot of guys in the mix.
Yeah, look, I love JT, but I wouldn't touch that bet with the 10-foot pole. He's got to show me something tomorrow. Like I say, he just looks like at the wrong time, he's got a crooked tee shot or he misses some sort of putt of consequence. So if he plays well tomorrow, I feel like it may be a different thing. He's long overdue. So he's also playing with some of that, I've got to prove myself and I've got to get that win. And when you start almost trying to win, you start tripping yourself up a little bit. I think Brendan Todd's a sound bet. I'm looking down the list there a little bit at Keith Mitchell. You know, his win, he had more than one win. He's won in Florida down at PGA National. It was the Honda Classic, now the Cognizant. And Mitchell, you know, he's just sort of flying under the radar a little bit. And this is the kind of course that I feel like would really float his boat. So I think Mitchell at plus 1,400 may be worth a bit of a flutter.
The PGA Tour leaderboard is screwed up at the moment. It's been very slow. They have Sam Burns done with a 71. That's not right, Josh, right? We watched him hit it into the trees, hit his approach onto the green and 3-putt, right? That's a fact. Sam Burns made at least a 5 on 18.
It's so official. It's on the scorecard says 4, he's in.
He might be DQ'd in a moment if he signs that wrong. Wrong scorecard. My eyes saw it. I know what Sam Burns made on 18. All right, Mark, this thing is wide open. If the cut line stays at even, which looks like it's going to do, probably everybody who makes the cut will be within 6, maybe 7 shots of the lead. Mm-hmm. So should be a great weekend. We're very much looking forward to it.
Oh, definitely. It's always fun to watch this event if you kind of like car wrecks. If you go to NASCAR races for the wrecks, it's going to be for you this weekend, because so whoever's got the lead is going to be like, they've got to go through that snake pit. And 16 is mean. 17 is not easy. 18, I would say, is probably 17, 18 are like 1A, 1B for the easiest. But 16 is so hard. And bogey is oftentimes not a bad score. So if you can get past 13, the par 3, because that plays like 175 with crosswinds, with bunkers left, water right, 14 is a hard par 5, and then 15 is a difficult 3, and then you can hang on for dear life, and people are going to crash. So if you're into that, watch Sunday afternoon.
Well, no matter what happens, and I do expect a bit of a shakeup on Saturday, maybe another one on Sunday, we'll be back to recap it all here on The First Cut. But for now, I'm going to thank producer Josh, who does all the hard work behind the scenes. I'm going to say that's Mark Immelman, who you can find at Mark_Immelman, and you can find me at Rick Run Good. This has been The First Cut. We'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.